Are you ready for a war?
It's a trap.
Game over, man. Game over.
You just killed a helicopter with a car.
I was out of bullets.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We are the BCD Flixsters. We are coming to you live from Nathan Pfeiffer's office in the corner. Dark, dark corner of the MacU facilities. That's right. We're on the other side of the fire lane. So, we're going to go ahead and get started. And today's podcast is Clerks, Kevin Smith's famous or infamous, depending on who you are, launch of his career. And we're going to review that. And today is February 15th, 2012. So, let me reintroduce my famous or infamous, depending on who you are, co-hosts.
Daniel Stahl.
And
Bama Rogers, the famous.
Infamous. You want to be famous? I'll make him infamous. Yeah. All right, so.
Thank you, Spider-Man. J. Jonah Jameson.
I miss J. K. Simmons from Spider-Man. Okay, so starting off, we're going to hop into the box office and do some frowning and more frowning. And smile, and then more frowning.
And maybe some crying.
And then there's some crying. Folks, number one at the box office by pretty substantial margin was Identity Thief, $36.6 million. Yeah, I didn't like this movie very much. It was kind of an original, uninspired comedy that had Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy who tried really hard to make it good, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it had its moments where it was funny and decent. I'm not going to say it was great.
Yeah, at times.
At times. But then there were, like we said last time, it had those moments where it's like, okay, really?
There was at least 20 minutes at a time, 20 minute chunks of time where I did not laugh.
Yeah. Period. It was.
That's like every comedy has to have me laughing every second of the movie, but it's like I'm sitting there, I'm getting bored, and I'm like, oh my gosh, when is something going to happen?
I've definitely seen worse than this.
Yeah, I mean, it's mediocre. I mean, nothing special about it, even though it's got a pretty decent cast. It's just, you know, nothing special. And you can tell when it's trying too hard, because there were times like that. Her and Big Bob, or whatever that guy was, that whole thing with Big Chuck. Yeah, that whole thing was just, they were trying so hard. So hard.
Yes.
Oh, you got it. Yes. Trying hard. Okay.
Stahl has no idea.
He has no idea. He's sitting here looking like he's
but he'll probably
lost
find out.
In translation. All right. Wow, so, number two, Warm Bodies with 11.5. I've ranted about this one past podcast. Zombies Beat by the Power of True Love. There you go. That's the movie.
Can we just tell it to go away?
Well, I mean, at least it's not like Twilight. The thing you keep telling to go away and it keeps coming back with more and more friends. This one's the one that's like, well, hey, I'm kind of dumb. Let's have some fun. And I'm like, that's respectable. It's respectable.
Twilight better not come back. I will punch it in the face.
Oh, it'll come back, Bama. It'll come back in the form of...
It better be prepared to be punched in the
face. An HBO miniseries that was incredible. Direct start, co-created by Martin Scorsese and written by Steven Spielberg. Written by Damon Lindelof. So, okay. To 11, and I still don't have a bell. I suck. Okay, number three, Side Effects with $10 million. I know nothing about that movie, so I have no commentary. All right, number four, Silver Linings Playbook with 6.9. Said it every time. Go see it. Probably the best romantic comedy I've seen, at least in the last couple of years. Smart, funny. Actually, difficult to watch times because it's dealing with some pretty hefty matters. But overall, funny movie. Great romantic comedy. Might make you cry a little bit, too. All right, and then number five with $5.8 million is Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. Not to be mistaken with the Redbox ripoff Hansel and Gretel. And that is the top five in the box office. Let's go ahead and move on to our news. My news item is something rather special. Not really. Not really special at all. For those of you movie nerds out there who watched the BAFTA Awards, BAFTA meaning the British Academy of Film and Television Awards, they had the award show on Sunday night, and just thought some interesting commentary, maybe some foreshadowing for the upcoming Oscars here in a couple weeks. Some writing on the wall, maybe can kind of help us out with what's going to win. All right, so, best film, Argo. Awesome, awesome movie. We've already talked about it several times. Best actor, Daniel Day-Lewis. No surprise. Anyone surprised at all? Best actress, no idea who that is. Emmanuel Riva. Best supporting actress, Anne Hathaway. No surprises. Best Supporting Actor, Christoph Waltz. You know, I really was going to count him out for Best Supporting Actor this year, but he's won a lot of Best Supporting Actor awards, a lot of his other award shows, so he might actually have a chance at the Oscars. The BAFTA Awards gave the Academy the middle finger by giving Best Director to Ben Affleck. I'm serious, like, it's like the third or fourth award show that has given Ben Affleck Best Director, and he didn't get nominated in the Oscars. So I'm just saying, all these other award shows are like, what? Look up, what's up? You guys suck. You missed the mark. How about that? Best Adapted Screenplay was Silver Linings Playbook. Best Original Screenplay, Django Unchained. And everything below that's pretty much a wash. Oh, Life of Pi got my favorite movie last year. Got Best Visual Effects. And Skyfall got Best British Film. So at least Skyfall is winning something somewhere.
Yeah.
Because the Academy spat on it and said you're worthless. So that is my news item for the week. Just kind of going to the BAFTA Awards. Tell us, Oscars are coming up in a couple weeks. What are you guys thinking is going to win? What kind of levers you think some of these movies going to have? Be interested to see. All right, Bama, what is your news item for the week?
All right, my news item is something that is a big interest of some of us, because this is part of a film that we all have seen, that we all love. A little over a month ago, some people had sent in a request to have a Death Star built by our government, and
they had enough signatures to get the petition to go through.
They had enough to get it to go through, but they just completely denied it. Well, interesting enough, Kickstarter has been raising money for this, and not just for a Death Star, but for also X-Wing fighters. Currently, right now, they have $364,000 for a Death Star and nearly $80,000 for X-Wing fighters. Now, this is nowhere near what they need to get, because for a Death Star, it needs to be $20 million, and for an X-Wing fighter,
at least $20 million. That's a cheap Death Star.
I know, that's a very cheap Death Star.
That's like Chinese labor Death Star right there.
Yeah, and to think the X-Wing is just a little more than half of that. It's at $11 million listed on here, so I don't...
Dude, we should call Bill Gates. We could actually get this crap through.
Yes.
We could build an X-Wing like squadron. That'd be awesome. Could fly around being like, we're the Rogue Squadron.
You know, I mean, I really don't see this going anywhere. I mean, I don't know.
What are you talking about, Bama? Well, I was the one who started the Kickstarter. There's hope. Star Wars, what was the theme of episode 4 again? A New Hope.
A New Hope,
the
yes.
Government turned us down, so a New Hope. Kickstarter. That is the New Hope for everybody these days. We go to get Kickstarter for anything.
Seriously don't think this is going to happen.
Bama, listen.
As much as I would love for it
If this Death Star goes through, I get to call myself Darth Vader, okay?
Okay, fine.
You're going to be a Luke, you can be my son. Come on.
I'm older than you.
What? So? Those are rules. I think we can break the rules, okay?
You would rather be Han Solo anyway.
Well, Han Solo is pretty boss.
And I'll be Chewie. There we go.
Han, Chewie, okay.
We'll,
you can fly co-pilot.
We'll go around the galaxy.
So does that mean we can, and then as a stipend, you know, since I can't get the Death Star, I will build a Millennium Falcon. So.
Sure.
All right. I think this is legit news.
That's probably going to be like... What, 18 I think that, million?
At least. This is the best use of Kickstarter I've ever seen. I mean, come on. Raising money for a Death Star and an X-Wing squadron. I mean, and what's funny is I think I remember the Death Star went up first, and in response to the Death Star, someone else started a campaign to build X-Wing fighters. So,
I mean, why don't we just, you know, build the whole armada? Let's get some A-Wings, Y-Wings,
Let's get Akbar in there.
That's a trap right there.
Oh, whoa. It's a trap. All right. Well, anyway, so, guys, just want you to know, when I get my Death Star, you can all sign up to be part of the Imperial Alliance, or Imperial whatever. And you scallywags out there who don't like me, go join the Alliance so I can blow you up with my Death Star. All right. So, what is in the news for you today?
Well, the news for me is that Robert Downey Jr. is actually going to be able to... produce a sci-fi movie here pretty soon. Warner Brothers picked up the rights to an episode of a British TV series called Black Mirror, and they're going to adapt it to the big screen, and Robert Downey Jr. Is going to help produce it. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. Obviously, we all know Robert Downey Jr. from as Iron Man or Sherlock Holmes, things like that. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what he does as a producer. So, yeah, that was kind of...
Do you think he might also star in? I mean, I know he doesn't say he does, but I mean, like, a lot of times people like Brad Pitt has a production company, for instance, and a lot of times he stars in the movies he produces. Like Tree of Life.
It's possible.
I could see Robert Downey Jr. doing that.
I feel like his ego is so big, he can't just... He'll be like, sit down and say, all right, here's what you do. You suck. Okay, I'm just... You know what? I'm going to be you better than you can.
Exactly. All right,
get up. You're fired. And he's going to take over the role that day and roll with it.
Yeah, I guess he Robert Downey Jr. doing that. Yeah. So
he could probably write himself into it. Somehow.
I'm sure he would think he could write himself into it, and it would probably work because he can pull it off somehow. So, well, that's interesting. We'll see. Mr. Downey Jr. is now going for the You know, I notice how many actors go into getting eventually after their career is so successful they actually start producing.
It's more money.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's done it. Brad Pitt's done it. George Clooney's done it. Anyway. Well, that's an interesting news in the week. TIE Fighters, Robert Downey Jr.'s ego, and British award shows. Now we're going to go ahead and we're going to review Kevin Smith's Clerks. Before I get into... I'm going to read the summary and then I'm going to rant about Kevin Smith because I got a little rant about Kevin Smith.
Okay.
Okay. Summary for Clerks, for all you don't know, this is his 1994 indie movie. Pretty much launched his career. It was made for practically nothing. Black and white... no-name actors, whole nine yards. And the summary is, a day in the lives of two convenience clerks named Dante and Randall as they annoy customers, discuss movies, and play hockey on the store roof. That is the words of wisdom from IMDb. There's also something about love triangles in there and all this other sorts of crap.
That's pretty much the whole story.
That is the whole story. All right, can I just say something about Kevin Smith?
Please do.
Okay, so...
No, you can't.
I honestly cannot say I was a huge fan of Kevin Smith until I started listening to his smodcasting this summer. I got sucked in and he did this podcast called Batman on Batman. It's really awesome. Every week he talks about Batman. And like leading up to The Dark Knight Rises, he was like bringing like Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy.
Dang.
He's had Paul Dini on there several times. That's one of the writers of Batman animated series. Anyway, and he's got, I mean, just lots of, he had one Bruce Timm at some point. So not like your Christian Bales and Christopher Nolans, but like your, you know, the people who worked on Batman the animated series, especially because that Kevin Smith loves Batman.
So he got series. Mark Hamill.
He did get Mark Hamill. For like a 4-hour, I think it was like a 2-episode deal. I mean, anyway, it's still going on. Check it out. So what I'm saying is I'm also self-advertising for Kevin Smith, who podcasts, Smodco, check it out. I also recently listened to him do a podcast for, we did 4 hours, talk with Rian Johnson, who directed Looper. So anyway, this guy may look like a bum. He may act like a bum. He might talk like a bum. This guy is freaking... ridiculously smart and knowledgeable about crap. That's all I'm saying.
And
like,
hilarious.
And it's hilarious. Like,
so many hilarious
stories. He can tell a story like it's no one's business. Like, he'll be sitting there. This reminds me of this one time, and he goes in for like 20 minutes, and you're like, the whole time, like, dude, it was kind of like, remember when Robert Englund was sitting down there? That's how it is. Like, he just knows how to weave a tale, and like, that's great about his podcast. Like, he'll start asking personal, so go back, what's your childhood, and where'd you come from, and stuff. And he'll, like, someone will say something, and then he'll, like, turn it around and make it sound like, not that it's more interesting, but like he'll tell like a storyteller. He'll be like, "So this is what happened to you," and you're like, "Wow." Anyway, so check out Smodco. This guy's interesting. Whether or not you like this movie or any of his other movies, which very debatable. Check out. He's a very interesting guy, very smart and fun to listen to. Although, be prepared for about every other cuss word
he is kind of dirty.
Cuss word or dirty word or
reference to.
Yeah, reference to sex in any form imaginable. Any of those, yeah, they're all there. And he talks like that on his podcast all the time. All right, so now that I've ranted about Kevin Smith, talk about the movie. So, Bama, what did you think of Clerks?
Well, it's very interesting. I will say that I did like some of the things that went on throughout this film. Not really for its face value, but what its underlining meaning was. Through all this, because one of the characters, Randall, who is probably the laziest person you will ever meet, who has a lazy job, really, working at a movie store.
And he tells his customers to leave.
He tells them to leave in a manner that's not nice.
Not polite at all.
But as stupid and as rude as he comes off as at the beginning, and, you know, like, if you just meet him face-to-face, you know, for a few minutes. I mean, he just seems like a douchebag. But some of the conversations he has with Dante, it's just like these really profound thoughts that you would never expect from someone like that.
So he's like Kevin Smith.
He's kind of like Kevin Smith a little bit. Those kind of things caught me by surprise. I really wasn't expecting something like that.
Well, because he's very observant. He's very knowledgeable. He's just a bum. Like, so he himself doesn't care. But, like, he actually sees all these things and, like, is able to...
He's lazy and doesn't care most of the time. Kind of like me a little bit,
so you're Randall.
But I'm not as grotesque and rude to people. Mm-hmm. The character of Dante, I would really kind of consider him just the normal average guy that's at a crappy job that he doesn't like. Gets called
I'm
in.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
That comes up like ten times. It's like you hear the sad violin music playing in the background every time he says
every
it.
Time. And every time, like at first you're like, okay, fair enough, dude. So, yeah, second time, fair enough. And then by the time he's in, you're like, shut up and stop whining.
And that's exactly what Randall does, too.
But at the same time, I kind of see where he's at, because everyone's worked. I mean, like, everyone's had a job at one point where you're just like, the whole day, I hate this. I'm not supposed to be in. If you've been in a job where you get called in and crap, you're like, man, I wasn't even supposed to be here today. This is the crappiest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just like, it's your day off. You really don't want to do anything.
Exactly.
Like, he was supposed to play hockey.
Just to play hockey, man. And then hook up with this girl. Okay. All right. Anyway, before we go any further, Stoll, what is your impression of Clerks?
All right. You said this was a low budget, right?
Very low budget.
I'm going to tell you why it was low budget. Because Kevin Smith was walking down the street. He found a store, and he said, I'm going to film these two guys for the day. And that's how he made this movie, because that's how bad this movie is. I did not like this.
So then he put himself in this.
I know. I'm going to totally trivia this up, so I'll put this in context. Now, you can still hate the movie. It's totally fine. He filmed this at a store he worked in for years. He made this movie with people he knew. These are all people he grew up with. He made this movie with. So he did this with people he knew, at a place he knew, with a camera that was in black and white. So I'm like, okay, I mean, this movie was made for nothing.
Pretty much.
Because he was just like, hey, I'm going to film, guys. You want to hang
this
out?
This movie was made for $27,000.
Because all he did was he found these two people that were running the store and like, I'm just going to film you guys, act like you normally would. And that's what happened. Okay, it's probably not that bad. I'm being a little bit extreme. But I did not like this movie. I was bored pretty much throughout the entire movie. I understand that I think I see some of the things he was trying to do, but I found myself bored and found myself not liking either of the two main characters. I found them both not likable. And I felt like when they were trying to be funny, I found it not funny. And so for that reason, I really didn't like this movie very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, my thoughts. These are... You know, I've been thinking about this movie for 2 days, alright? And here's what I got on Clerks. This is not a movie I'm going to pop down and just watch any old day. Because it's not my particular, it's not my favorite Kevin Smith movie. And it's funny is that I find Kevin Smith, and I do find a lot of things in the movie funny, this just isn't like, I feel like this is not my type of humor for most of the movie. Although there's some pretty hilarious stuff in this movie, not going to lie. This is one I'm glad I watched again, because the first time I've seen this since high school, so... Much different perspective, much more appreciation. But, you know, overall, wouldn't be my number one pick. Lots to like about this movie, though. I'm about to see what you guys think. I'm about to hop into dissecting what he's doing here. Basically, we're looking at a slice of life movie about people working in a freaking convenience store. Someone who's not supposed to be there. And you see all the drama these people have to go through with, okay?
Just in one day.
In one day. Like, and
there's a lot of crap in
it's like, you know, the guy at the gas station, the guy behind McDonald's counter or whatever, these people you run into every day who do these little services for you that you didn't even think about, what are their lives like? What is the inside of the store like? What kind of crap do they have to put up with on a daily basis? Things that we don't even think about. And they're like, hey, let's make a movie about that. So, yeah, that's kind of the premise of the movie. And I think it's unlike any movie I've seen before. Is it the most exciting movie? No. I mean, the whole thing's made, like, within a block. It's like... There's like two sets. There's a video store, and there's the store. And then there's outside the store.
There's also the guy's house at the beginning.
There is the guy's house at the very beginning. Like, yeah, when he's trying to wake up.
Bedroom area. Although he was in a closet.
And he was in a closet. He was a real bum.
Weird.
But I'm not even supposed to be here today! Alright, so. Start off. Stylistically. What did you guys think of the black and white?
Kevin Smith didn't want to spend the month. No,
dude, this guy was like, you understand, like, this guy, like, was just like a Joe Schmo, like, you know, I mean, he loved movies, and I think he might have gone to film school, maybe, but, like, he was working, like, crappy job. Like, the fact that he scraped together $27,000 to make this movie was amazing. And, he did, I mean, I'm saying, like, so yes, this movie is making cheap, but this is kind of like, it's like me and you actually trying to go get money to, like, make a real movie. Kind of what he did, okay. So just put it into perspective, because this movie is really cheap and it looks really cheap. But anyway, the black and white. What'd you think? did it really, did it add? I mean, did you guys think it really added anything, or?
At first, when I saw that it was in black and white, I thought it was going to have some sort of message with the black and white. I thought it was going to be something like a Pleasantville, not in the same story or anything, kind of anything like that, but they were going to use the black and white to get a message across, and that was not the case. So, I don't know why he used the black and white. I could not figure it out, but I don't think it really added or took away from the film.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. It really didn't do too much. I do like that he did that, though. I can't really tell you why I like that he did black and white instead of color, but I know that I like it. But it didn't really add much to it. I guess I like it because he was doing something different from what everyone else was doing. And I think at the soul of it, that's really what Kevin Smith really likes to do. He doesn't want to do what everyone else is doing. He wants to do what he wants and wants to do it his way.
Absolutely. And depending on who you are, you can think that's either a terrible or a great thing. I think that's exactly right. I think he wanted to make... And I think that's what makes Kevin Smith Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
He makes movies pretty much unlike anyone else in the business now. Is everyone going to like him? Absolutely not. And he's fair game for criticism.
A lot of people don't like him.
No, a lot of people don't like him. For a lot of reasons. I mean, like a lot of reasons that I wouldn't even say are necessarily unfair. But I have oodles of amount of respect for the guy. Because he's like, you know what, I want to make this movie. I'm going to get the funding together. I want to make this movie. You know, and I'm going to make it my own. I'm not going to, you know, cave to, you know, this is an independent movie. He did this all on his own.
Yeah.
And he went to a film festival and it got picked up, you know, and won crap loads of awards. So, I mean, it's cool. The black and white, this is the only black and white movie he's done. And I was just kind of curious because I didn't know how to make of it. I didn't know, I was kind of like you, I don't know necessarily added to the movie. I don't think it took away. I was really trying to figure out what he was trying to do, but the most I came up with was he was trying to show how dull working in a convenience store is. Was about the only thing I could come up with. I'm not really sure why he chose black and white. I've never listened to a commentary for this movie. I'd be interesting to see if he talks about it in his commentary, because he's a fan pleasing guy. Obviously doing podcasting right now because he likes to interact with fans, but he also goes into detailed commentary tracks and stuff like that. So what did you guys think about how the movie, and what did you think about the subplots? I mean, like, the romantic subplots with Dante, the main character. He had this girl he liked, and he had his girlfriend that was supposed to get married, right?
Well, the thing that happened with that was in the paper said that she was being engaged to a Asian, she was supposed to get married, or she was getting engaged and getting married to this Asian guy who never showed up in the film, I thought, oddly enough. But it was all just a hoax kind of thing. It was a thing just to make her parents happy, kind of, really. And she even shows up later in the film and tells Dante that she's going to break off the engagement. Mm-hmm. And of course, she said her parents are gonna completely hate her for it.
Mm-hmm. But simultaneously, he's got this ex girlfriend he can't get over.
No, was the ex.
Yeah, that's the ex girlfriend he's been in. While he's can't get over his ex girlfriend, he's also got this other girl who's kind of been his go to girl, called named Veronica, who's been super nice, shows up, gives him food, you know, just a friendly girl, clearly has some feelings for him. They get in an argument early in the film, and basically, throughout the day, there's this love triangle that kind of unfolds. You get to see how the dynamics in that works, and then eventually Veronica has sex with the girl. Or, sorry. Caitlin has sex with the dead guy in the bathroom. And that's how that story ends, pretty much. So,
all I gotta say, 37.
37. Do we want to talk about it?
I'm not gonna talk about it.
Yeah, you're gonna talk about it?
I'm just gonna let that sit there and let the viewers or listeners kind of wonder, what is 37?
What is 37? What is the significance of 37?
Watch the film and find out.
Watch the film and find out. You know, Veronica's got some interesting relations with 37. That's an interesting number to her for some reason. And
Dante is
number 37, and he's pretty upset about that.
Yes.
We'll go ahead, move into spoiler section to talk about the end. Not a lot that goes on at the end, but we'll talk about it a little bit. So, be warned. You will be spoiled. Those Clerks.
There's not a lot to spoil.
Hey, listen, there's plenty to spoil, okay? So, spoilers.
Spoilers! There's not a lot.
Spoilers. Store closes.
Oh.
All right, guys, moving on. What's great? No, okay, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Did you guys think this movie resolved very well? Just curious. Because basically, folks, give you the rundown. Day goes on. They talk about a variety of things. Him and
Dante have a discussion about Star Wars.
The Death Star.
About which is better, Empire or
Return of the Jedi, which breaks down like... Randall starts talking about the economics of building two Death Stars, and like they just it breaks.
Even
down.
A contractor
walks in and talks to him,
puts in his point of
view. Right,
that part of the movie I loved because
that was funny.
It was like a legitimate conversation about blowing up a Death Star halfway finished, good or bad. It's just like
it's because the people building the Death Star were contracted in. So ethically, you're killing millions or thousands at least of innocent people.
But as the contractor said, they know the risk going into the job, so they risked themselves working.
Getting blown up by Rebel Alliance.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
It happened with the first one. Who? Why don't you think it's going to happen with the second one?
Yeah, they're getting paid a lot of money for that.
I mean, they may not have had that 2-meter exhaust port.
Well, they had a giant core they could just fly into when the shields were down. Okay.
Well, because it was only halfway finished.
Yeah. Exactly.
Weapons were up, but defenses.
You know what? I feel like now that we're talking about this, I've got all this other crap I want to talk about while we're in the spoiler section. So. Before we get to the actual spoiler section, opening scene, cigarette guy. Come on, that was funny, right? Remember the guy's trying to sell the guy's cigarettes, and the guy walks in, he's like,
"Oh,
you're gonna buy the cigarettes, right? They're death stakes, you know? They're building a man." He said, "We're all gonna die somewhere." Exactly, and you're paying to die every day, slowly. And then the whole board, this guy basically walks in and starts a riot over cigarettes.
There was like 12 people in the store throwing cigarettes
at Dante. Yeah.
He's just like, "I'm just doing my job.
I'm just selling the cigarettes."
Don't tell us that bullcrap.
You're just part of the system, man. You're feeding the system. First 10 minutes of the movie, I thought that was hilarious.
Well, and then it turns out that he's not even like a health guy or anything.
Yeah.
He's just trying to convince them to buy gum because he sells gum.
He sells the gum.
He's trying to quit your habit of smoking and buy gum to replace it.
And ultimately, he smokes.
Yep.
So, it was kind of weird. Anyway, so.
But gum is cheaper.
Gum is cheaper. That guy was right. It was more financially feasible. So, but anyway, moving on. So, they talk about things like cigarettes, Star Wars, porn videos from Randall. He lists off a variety of porn titles, and anyway.
Lots of disturbing.
Lots of interesting titles out there. Anyway, watch the movie to get the context. It's not as bad as it sounds. Well, actually, it kind of is, but it's funny.
That's up to your discretion.
It's funny, whatever. Anyway, so, talk about porn videos, and they talk about old ladies who come in and check all the milk cartons every day, and... you talk about people, Jay and Silent Bob walk in and like, while Randall's distracting him, they eat a bunch of food and then leave the store.
That was just Jay.
You're right. Silent Bob was just chilling outside smoking.
Because that's all he does.
That's what he does.
What was the guy that was checking the eggs? He was like looking for the perfect
eggs. He was looking for the perfect eggs. He's like, they don't make it. The guidance counselor, that's right.
Yes.
He's like, oh, I don't know what to make of this. So
apparently, all guidance counselors go nuts.
Apparently, those high school kids, they have to talk to you, man. They drive them crazy. Just saying. High school kids are crazy. Anyway.
But at least they're nice about it because in the movie they said they pay for everything that they break. So. Yes.
And then Caitlin comes back and then some old guy walks in a bathroom and masturbates and then he dies apparently. And then Caitlin goes in the bathroom and has sex with the dead body, which...
She thought it was Dante.
She thought it was Dante. Spoiling this is not as funny. Like, when you watch it in the context of the movie, it's actually really funny. But, like, trying to explain it...
But to kind of go back to set that up, there was no lights in the bathroom.
There was no lights in the bathroom.
The lights weren't working, and there was no way for them to fix it. So that's how she didn't know who it was.
Yes. And I think the point of all this ridiculous, crazy dumbness is, again, to show you, what kind of crap do people who work at convenience stores have to put up with?
And their friends.
I mean, like, think about it. Like, light, like little annoying things like a light going out or that weird person with the OCD tendencies to check the milk and people who smoke cigarettes. I mean, like, all these things amount to showing you the inside of, okay, what if this is a little funnier, but basically, a little exaggerated, a little funnier. But this is what we go through every day, and you don't even think about it. And this isn't a huge deal, but it's a very, I find it to be an interesting character story. Quite honestly. Stoll, you're being real quiet over there.
I mean, okay. I mean, I can see your guys' point. It's an interesting character story. Like, clearly, that's all it is. Is it's about these two characters just going through their day. But I don't know. I just found it not exciting. I was bored most of the time. I didn't even like either character. Dante, I felt kind of sympathetic for at times, but
things didn't want to baby when he punched me.
But in the end, I was just like, you know what? I don't like you, and I didn't like Randall. I didn't. Only person that I kind of liked was Veronica. But even then, I more or less just felt bad for her because Dante kind of like screwed her over. So,
well, and she did 37. It's kind of hard to feel sorry for somebody with 37.
Okay, that's fair. But she did get screwed over by Dante.
He does screw her, and at least she's honest about 37.
But what about Caitlin? What was wrong with Caitlin?
She was the ex-girlfriend who ditched him, okay?
She broke his heart.
But she still loved him, and
she had sex with the dead guy.
No. Didn't she look on her face after that happened too? That scene afterwards, where she shit in the ambulance.
The lady that came in the ambulance and to investigate, I was like, "Oh, she's gonna have to go for therapy for years and all this stuff."
Oh gosh, do not feel sympathy for that.
I like you. You guys were saying some of these.
Parts, I don't like Caitlin very much, I'll be honest, but it was kind of funny.
You guys are saying all these.
You have to have some sympathy for someone who thinks, "Oh, I can't." Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know, and the parts that. Where I thought I knew that the film was trying to be funny, I didn't find them funny.
You didn't find 37:30?
Some of the things that you guys were talking about being funny, I was like, "That's not funny." Like, I don't think I laughed once in this movie.
The Star Wars conversation wasn't funny.
You didn't like the Star Wars.
I'd already seen the Star Wars conversation before outside of it, so I'd already had that entertainment value from the scenes.
So was it funny the first time?
It was kind of funny the first time.
I need to question your sense of humor at this point.
Hold on. At the same time. I was like, okay, that was really random and weird. It was kind of a weird funny.
It was trying to be ironic and like, and the whole point of that conversation was the movies we watch every day. Do we really think about all this? Do we really think through what we're watching?
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it.
Right. And I understand the points of it, but in the end, I just thought I wouldn't watch this again.
So in other words, what I'm hearing you say is that Kevin Smith is too smart for you.
No. This has nothing to do with Kevin Smith, like as a person. I'm just saying, in the context of this film,
I know. Well, you don't think it's funny that he thought through a movie process and you don't find it funny?
I said I thought that that scene was probably the only fun scene I felt that was kind of funny.
Do you give perks to the movie for at least being kind of creative? Or?
Oh yeah, it was very creative, very unique, something I'd never seen before. Sure, I give it like respect in that where it's due.
Finally,
like
positive.
But I don't. But where it tried to be new, I thought that was... it tried to be new, but it wasn't good when it tried to be new. It just was trying to be new for the sake of being new, maybe.
People, if you want to stay around, we're going to have a death match. That's next week's podcast. Which I mean, it's still fight to the death. We're not reviewing any movies next week. So.
I'm referee.
He's referee.
I don't know. I'm being hard on this movie. I'm probably being a little bit harder than I actually feel about it.
No. Still, I want you to be honest. Be blatantly honest. Be harder on this movie.
37.
But, and the reason that I felt that Star Wars scene was funny because it got away from all the sexual reverence and stuff like that. I found most of the sexual reverence to be kind of immature and not funny. So,
okay.
That I agree.
I will give you some leeway there. Again, I will restate my point that I will say two things. I do not think that this is Kevin Smith's best movie by any means. I think he's a lot funnier in other movies where he's doing humor. He always has sexual humor. Like, this is part of his style. But this movie especially has a lot of it. And there were different times where you're like, oh my gosh, that's like a middle school joke. Or, oh my gosh, he really, you know. I'll give you a prop for that. Fair enough. Because that is a punchline of a lot of jokes.
Yeah, and by the end of it, it was just like, okay, well, the punchline of this is going to somehow be sexual. You know, and so, I don't know. There's some positives about this movie, but overall, I just did not like the movie.
So, let me pull a figure up here for you, just to, so we can kind of, you know,
how much money did he make off? Is that what you're about to tell me? Because he didn't spend a lot of money on it, so of course he made a lot of money.
It wasn't going to give him enough money to launch a career, but no, let's see. You know, we're all critics here, so let's look at the other critics. Let's see. They give it an 88%.
So there was 12% out there that agree with me. So
that's the wrong 12%. You're on the wrong side of the 12%.
On IMDb, it gets a 7.9 out of 10.
That's a pretty high score for IMDb. It's
fine.
Already a high score.
That's fine.
Metascore 70 out of 100.
That's completely fine. I can be completely wrong in my analysis, but that's what it is. So
okay,
listen. I'm not saying you're wrong, Stoll. I'm just saying
everybody disagrees.
You haven't thought it through. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying, Stoll. You just don't get it.
Oh my gosh. We are not about to do this right now.
No, I get it. I just don't like it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's about a completely different movie.
Oh,
I do need to watch that movie again. I will grant you that. I need to watch that movie again because I've learned a lot more about films since then.
I kind of want to take the focus off the main two characters.
Okay.
And Veronica and Caitlin. I kind of want to see what y'all think about some of the minor characters. Jay and Silent Bob, for the most part, because Kevin Smith plays Silent Bob. Says absolutely nothing throughout the film.
My favorite character.
He's my favorite character, too. He's my favorite character, too.
He didn't talk. It was
and
so
no,
nice.
No, no, no. At the very end, and all he said was, what was it? What does he say?
He has, like, the best line.
He does.
Right
Hold
there
on.
At the end.
Give me a second.
I liked him because he wasn't making stupid comments the whole time.
that's why Silent Bob is great.
But see, that's why Jay and Silent Bob, that's why they're such a great duo together. Because Silent Bob just doesn't say anything. He's there just to be there. And he's kind of the muscle man of this duo. And Jay is like bad mouthing everybody. He's picking fights with people, calling people dirty names and stuff. And then he's got Bob backing him up.
Okay. Here is Silent Bob's one line for the whole movie. When he tells it to Dante, okay? The only line. Is this the only line he ever says in any of his movies?
I don't know.
I can't remember. He doesn't talk very often, obviously.
I don't think it's the only one. I think in some of the later ones, he does say something, but not much.
He says, you know, there's a million fine-looking women in the world, dude. They don't all bring you lasagna at work. Most of them just cheat on you.
It's a very good line.
That is a very good line.
It's a very good line.
Boom! Right there.
It's like the whole movie, this guy's being an idiot. He's back and forth, and then Silent Bob's like, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but here's a fact.
here's bare bones fact right there for you.
Yeah, Silent Bob, get love him. He's only like he's just walking around, being a bum, literally outside the shop with Jay, and Jay stealing food. And honestly, okay.
They're smoking,
probably some weed, probably some cigarettes.
Well, they were doing that later that night.
That's right. Can I just say this, though? I'll be honest about come to Jay and Silent Bob. I don't like Jay. Sometimes he's really funny. I don't generally get like stoner humor a whole lot. Sometimes he's funny. I'll give him sometimes, but more times than not, I feel like he's annoying. But Silent Bob, I freaking love Silent Bob. And the fact of the matter is, Silent Bob makes Jay better. Like, I don't really like Jay, but when Silent Bob's there, I'm like, I have comfort knowing that he's gonna make it awesome.
And it's like Jay will turn to Silent Bob, say something, and he's like, yeah, totally, man. Like, Bob actually responded to him or something.
Yeah, he'll, like, not say or something like that.
It's
yeah.
just like, he kind of, like, does his arms up. Like, it's, I don't know, kind of
I think Jay
face.
And Silent Bob are, at this point, Kevin Smith's finest creation. So, anyway. So, folks, no real spoilers on this one. We can do a spoiler, but basically what happens, the day ends out. And, really, Dante isn't any closer to figuring out his dilemma. You don't find out. Did he pick Veronica or did he pick Caitlin? You don't know. At the end of the day, he's like, well, it's been a crappy day. And he and Randall just kind of walk out of the store. They close down each other, both their stores, and they kind of walk out, and that's the movie. So, again, just a slice of life, a day in the life of a clerk at a convenience store. So, I think that kind of covers it. You guys have any last closing comments you want to say about this movie?
In case you guys didn't realize, I did not like this movie.
37.
In case you guys didn't know, Stoll didn't get it.
No, I got it. It's just
37.
I didn't like it.
37. Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and grade this puppy. All right. Bama, what grade would you give this movie?
I am going to give this a surprising B minus. When I first watched it and was still taking it in, I was like, I was kind of thinking similarly to what Stoll is thinking, but I was like, you know, there actually is a lot of good undertone stuff going through here. There's a lot of profound things being said by the character Randall every now and then.
Okay, Stoll's just shaking his head. I'm like, do we even watch the same movie? Is that what you're thinking, Stoll?
Just let me finish.
I'll finish.
So, and plus, love the characters of Jay and Silent Bob. I think it just adds a little bit. It's like adding a spice into a food. That's what Jay and Silent Bob are. They give it that little extra kick into it. I'm not saying that this is by far one of the greatest things I've ever seen, by no means. But it is a good enough movie to set someone's career up, which it did for Kevin Smith. So B minus, if you're interesting, dirty comedy. You can check it out. I'm not really going to recommend it for everyone, though.
Yeah, you got to be able to handle the dirty, raunchy comedy, otherwise you're not going to like it. That's for sure. All right, Daniel Stoll.
All right. As I've said, I didn't like this movie. All day, I've been thinking I was going to give it a D. I've thought about maybe giving it an F because I didn't like this movie. I don't ever want to see this movie again. However, I am glad that I did see it at least once. I thought there are some good things about this movie. And obviously, you got to take into consideration the context of the movie, that it was his first movie. He didn't make it for really cheap and things like that. So I'm going to go with a D+ for this movie. I didn't like it. There were some positive parts of it, but in the end, it was just I didn't think it was it was creative, and he tried to do something new. I just don't think it really worked out in the end. So
this has been a tough one for me too, because I like this movie, but to what degree do I really like this movie? This is one I really like, and I'll watch again. It just won't be one I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever be enthused to watch it again. It's not one I'm like, oh man, I just can't wait to watch this movie again. And, you know, I mean, one if it comes up and the time is right, I'll be like, yeah, I'll watch it again. So that's why I'm struggling.
Have you seen Clerks 2?
I have not seen
Clerks 2. I haven't either. Have you seen it? Okay, probably not. Since this
it's not on Netflix, though.
It's not on Netflix.
Otherwise, that's why I would say we should watch it.
But if we had the availability to see Clerks 2, would you see it?
Absolutely.
Would you see it?
I would see it just for the sheer fact to see what he could make a sequel to that movie for.
So you would see it and probably hate it just the same.
I feel like I wouldn't like it, but I would try to go into it with an open mind. See, maybe he did something different.
Well, at least be open to the fact that how the crap do you make a sequel to that?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Well, how can you make a sequel to that?
That's what I'm saying. I would definitely see this just to see, because, I mean, he made Clerks 2 a little bit later on after.
Oh, it was like 2006, I think.
Yeah, so it's like since
he's working on Clerks 3, FYI.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. But since
all it was a day. Oh my gosh!
Okay, we get it.
I'm sorry. Okay. It's so funny though, the put on his face. All right.
I would definitely like to see where Clerks 2 goes, especially since it's later on in his career. He's got a few other movies under his belt. That's a really big belt, by the way. So I would really be interested to see how he improves upon from his first big film.
I am with you. I'd be the same.
I agree with that.
I've been thinking all day. Do I give it an A? Because I don't know if I'd rush out to see it again. And so that's why it gets a B+ with me. Now here's my reasons for giving it a B+. I really like this movie. Don't quite love is not the right word. I really like
love
it.
Love is a strong word.
It's a strong word. I don't find every joke in this movie funny, but I have tons of admiration because this guy was practically, when he wrote the script, he was practically a film student at best. I have a lot of respect for the work ethic that went into this movie, and I think as an independent film, it's a great example of how anybody can make, with the right writing, especially writing, because that's the biggest key here, is if with the right writing can make a good movie, even if it's two sets, $25,000, and a couple buddies. You know?
Yeah.
So lots of respect there. I did find a lot of the movie funny. I found a lot of the humor incredibly juvenile, which, you know, the inner 15-year-old thought it was funny. But after a while, you get tired of laughing with the inner 15-year-old. You're like, yeah, just grow up a little bit, you know? So again, B+. I like it. We've never seen a movie like this before.
No.
And we probably will never see anyone like this again. Even Clerks 2, it'll be a Hollywood movie. It'll be a big budget, or bigger budget Kevin Smith movie. It'll be a bigger movie. It won't be Kevin Smith making this movie for nothing with his buddies. So,
but it will still be Kevin Smith.
Well, it'll still be. So this movie gets a B+ from me. Folks, chime in. What did you think of this? And I will say this much, not Kevin Smith's best movie. I still maintain that Dogma is up there. It's probably one of his best. I still haven't seen Red State, a movie that hopefully we will review on this podcast sometime. So. All right, well, now that we have all reviewed this movie, and me and Stoll have nearly gouged each other with it by the time this movie's over, we're going to go ahead and move into our buzz section. All right, Bama, what are you buzzed about?
Well,
37!
37, yes, sir. Well, in keeping with the theme of Kevin Smith, his TV show Comic Book Men is going to be starting a new season. It actually started Thursday. I'm going to be trying to catch that when it comes. I think it comes on every Thursday at like 9 o'clock on AMC, something like that. I'm not sure.
So for all you nerds out there, like you and me, who don't have Valentine's dates, Comic Book Men.
Comic Book Men, and there's also a show on TBS called King of the Nerds. It's on its like fourth or fifth episode. King of the Nerds.
Oh, Kevin Smith was also on that.
He was.
He was on Kevin Smith everywhere these days.
He was a guest judge on that show for a superhero debate that they had between
Comics like it's no one's business. It's stupid.
Well, he owns a comic book store.
This is true.
Called Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash.
Yeah, yeah.
Which the employees that he has in the store that they, I don't know if he has any other stores, but the one that's covered in Comic Book Men, where they pretty much just discuss.
I'm pretty sure the guy who owns the store is in Clerks. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he was
Walter or whatever. He has the beard.
Yeah, he has big round glasses.
Yeah.
Pretty funny show. They pretty much just talk about, it's kind of like Clerks a little bit. They talk about some of the things that happen during the store, but they do talk about some hip superhero stuff. They have some discussions about superheroes and whatnot. But it's a really interesting TV show. If you're a comic book nerd, definitely something to check out.
And for all those who are interested in Comic Men but want to go back and see some older episodes, I'm pretty sure Netflix has at least the first season on there.
Yes, it does.
So, give it a shot. Stoll, what are you buzzed about?
Well, as we talked about several times on this podcast before today, it's in about, we're about in the middle of February. You know, we're getting close to March. And March means a lot to some of us, especially later in March. Specifically, March 31st, it means a lot to us around here.
Would you say something is coming on March 31st?
I think winter might be coming.
Winter is coming on March 31st?
Yeah, winter's coming. Winter's coming March 31st. Game of Thrones Season 3.
Game of Thrones!
Will be premiering on March 31st. And we're in the middle of February, so it's getting here. It's almost here.
Like 6 weeks, man.
Dragons.
White Walkers. There will probably be dragons. There will probably be White Walkers.
There better be dragons.
There will be incestuous sex.
There will probably be lots of... Well, there might be. They kind of toned down.
Honestly, spoilers. There's no incestuous sex in Season 3 unless they change crap dramatically. Okay, so...
Dragons.
So, yeah, I know that there are a lot of us here that are excited about it, and so I'm excited about it. I'm glad it's getting closer.
Dragons.
And is Tyrion going to win? That's all we need to know.
Well, I don't think we'll find out. Because I think it'll be more than three seasons, but
dragons.
Yeah, they're that's gonna be a lot of fun.
Baby dragons.
That's gonna be really exciting and
still dragons.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
Game of Thrones, you win or you die.
Funny thing, in the show King of the Nerds, they have a throne. They call it the Throne of Games.
Throne of Games. Does it look like the Iron Throne?
It's similar, but it's like. Got Guitar Hero controllers.
Oh my gosh.
It's got a bunch
show.
Of different stuff.
Watch
it's
show.
So cool.
That's awesome. All right. Good. And you got to check out the promo for Game of Thrones, which came out this week. All it is shots of the casts and their faces. But Littlefinger is there. Give me a monologue and it makes it awesome.
And I know Season 2 comes out on Blu-ray soon.
A week from Tuesday. So this coming Tuesday.
This coming Tuesday. And so we may or
who's
may
already
not...
got Who's got their spot? Raise your hand. Oh. Okay.
We may or may not watch through the entire show before Season 3 comes out again.
Yes. Absolutely. If you can stand the gratuitous amounts of gratuity in that show, amazing show, one of the best shows on TV, my personal opinion. So. All right. I am pumped about Die Hard now. I am a big Die Hard fan. I love Die Hard 1. Don't really like Die Hard 2. Love Die Hard with a Vengeance. Love Live Free. Live Free or Die Hard is pretty decent. Speaking of Kevin Smith, and who pops up in Live Free or Die Hard as a computer game nerd? Anybody? Anybody? Oh, with Kevin Smith connections everywhere! Oh, look at that!
Not as much as Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon is not in Live Free or Die Hard. Any Die Hard, actually.
Bacon. But there's what is it? The two. What is it? The bacon meter or the two bacon like? Two people can be removed.
The 5 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, that one. But Kevin Smith doesn't have that.
No, probably not. He's not the most connected Kevin out there, and he doesn't have bacon. But he's in Live Free or Die Hard. Anyway, so I actually have tickets to go see a Die Hard marathon on Wednesday, leading up to the new Die Hard. I'm going to see Die Hard 1, 2, 3, 4, and then A Good Day to Die Hard at 10 o'clock, all in the more worn, one of the greatest theaters on Earth. So, for anyone who wants to pop it out, $35, you can go see all five, including the new one a little bit early. So, check it out. You want to see John McClane kill some terrorists? So he can spend Christmas Eve with his wife and kids. You want to see him and Samuel Jackson team up to take on Jeremy Irons? Do you want to see hackers tear down Washington? Yes, that's beside the point. All right, so anyway, tired. Catch all of them. Can't wait. All right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap up. What movies are coming out in theaters this weekend? Well, already mentioned A Good Day to Die Hard. And I will just say, for all you singing fellas out there, there are lots of options. You say Comic Book Men, King of the Nerds, Die Hard. You know, I think the world, our American culture is now so it's Valentine's Day is so commercialized. They have crap they sell to people who don't have dates. So, interesting enough. So, Die Hard, A Good Day to Die Hard is coming out. And then Beautiful Creatures is the other movie coming out. That's like the young adult novel adaptation about witches or whatever. That'll be about all we got. Those two movies, Beautiful Creatures, sounds like Twilight ripoff, but whatever. Anyway, so if you want to keep up with us, please like us on Facebook. And on Facebook, look us up, like us. Please post comments, feedback, your opinions. We want to know what you guys think, and we will read it out loud on our podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we have Twitter, at BCDFlixters. My personal Twitter is at BigCalKenobi91 and at Masters_review. All right, and next week we'll be reviewing from Robert Rodriguez's directing Quentin Tarantino's screenplay in From Dusk Till Dawn. And, man, it's a twist, all right. Let's check it out. Can't wait to check that one out. All right. And until next time,
I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
37. Kill the Batman.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I'm a dude. Playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Game over.